Welcome to the City Life Lansing podcast. You are loved, you belong, and you have a unique purpose from God. You can connect with us at citylifelansing.com. You belong here. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning. Welcome to City Life. My name is Jerome. I get to serve as lead pastor here, and we're honored you are investing time to be with us today. And shout out to Ozellus being here, grateful for the gift God gave him. And I love what he said, because God gave every one of us a gift. And sometimes we can be caught up watching or comparing ourselves to someone else's gift. But God has put things inside of you. You are loved. You belong. And you have purpose, because God loves you. You belong to him, so it's safe to be with him and his people and to be yourself. And you have purpose, which is, as you're served, to serve this world. And at City Life, if you've been around for a minute, you know that you might come and hear a hymn. You might come and hear a spoken word. You might come and hear beatboxing, but it's all about Jesus. Amen? Last week was powerful. It's not about numbers, but if you know the Bible, it has 66 books in it, and one of the books is numbers. So God does care about the details, but we're not saved by how big something is. We're the people who plant and water, and we're saved from our ability to try to get good works to get back to God. But because of Jesus' finished work, his good work on the cross, we can be born again. And last week, 135 people said yes to Jesus. You know, it's March Madness, big basketball fan, and people will cry when their team wins. They will say things like, oh, we waited generations for this. The body of Christ saying yes to Jesus is a forever victory. So thank God. Speed of God who gives us the victory, Jesus. Now, today is a bit of contrast, and to be transparent, I feel that there's a concern that I don't want you to experience any whiplash, because the message we're going to be sharing is one that the interns kicked off their second quarter, and their second quarter is due. First quarter was B. So we've spent a quarter as a church understanding that we're human beings. But God has not just called you to only be, of course, always be, receive, but he's called you to do. So with Monday's theme, launching this next turn in the lap for the interns, we also shared the year that we as a body are going to experience the content they're in. So this is a condensed version. In some ways, we might be drinking from a fire hose. You can go back and check it online and see some of the content, but I would ask that you would just ask God, what does he have for you to do today? I have a clicker because we're going to be going through some slides, and to not give whiplash to the creative team, I'll be controlling it. And there is these books called Get Rooted for anyone that said yes, or you want to go deeper in the content that God has for your life and what it means to be a disciple with Jesus. You, disciple with Jesus, everywhere you go, 24/7, 365. This material is online, and there are also free copies at the Connect Center. And want to remind those that you can have that today. Victory, y'all. We're entering a season of victory. Victory over shame. What has been hard for decades. What has maybe even been a battle for generations. We believe that God is letting a roar of victory be in this room, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know Jesus is our victory. Well, it's done. On the cross, it is finished. Therefore, do. So in one way, maybe you could look at it this. Good works make room for goodwill. Make room for the good news. And we should be proclaiming all the time, man, God loves people. Only by Jesus people can be saved. But for some times on this equation, people are like, I don't want to hear it, I want to see it. And Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Not look at what you do, give you glory, but look at what you're doing. Why are you doing that? Oh, the good news changed you. So therefore, you're doing good works. So we're saved by Jesus' good work finished on the cross for good works. So hear loud and clear, good works don't save us. Being in church doesn't mean you're a Christian any more than going to McDonald's and means you're a cheeseburger. Beloved, everything we do, is it from a place that we're loved? And when love is greater than what we're doing, the action takes place. And when we start to believe that everything we do, God is involved in, it starts to change the game. But you might be here today and relate with me, especially Jerome. I dealt with high levels of anti-authority my whole life until I got born again. And from 22 on, I started to see authority completely different. But up till that point, I remember even one of my junior teachers, I said, do I got to take this test? He goes, you don't have to. You just take the results. I remember walking out of class. I'm not proud of that moment, but I took an E because no one could tell me what to. At what level is that in me? And in what level is that in you? Because you might say, well, I answer to no what? Exactly. Or no man. Okay, well, let's start to break it down then. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That means God's greatest work he ever created is you. It's me. You're his masterpiece. You're one of one. On your canvas is one of one. You're born an original. Do not die a copy. You're God's beloved. Every single one of you. Your life matters, your role matters, you have purpose. God sees you. And when you're in Christ Jesus, now he's given you real destiny. And he's prepared good works ahead of time. This is neat. When you're playing a video game, you don't know how it's going to flow, but it's prepared ahead of time, the next map. God has prepared ahead of time in his sovereignty what he wants you to do. And then the hard part is to figure out, well, God, what do you want me to do? You know, it's quite an art. There's nuance. There's a level of without new age head trash that comes co-opted with the word mysticism. To be, to then to work. The ebbs and the flows, the cadence of life. So God has prepared ahead of time things for you to do. Here's workmanship. So therefore, look, it's right in the word, workmanship. Let's go. And you might say, no one can tell me what to do. Well, look at this interaction between Jesus and an individual who is in command of soldiers. For comes up to Jesus, says, for I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go. And he goes. Now, if you've been led by a father who just kind of says go, or you led by a coach who says go, or a boss who says go, or that level of me, and I always have to think about that with my kids, but just because we saw a bad example doesn't mean that there's not truth that God has still made it in the blueprint. Because if we apply that logic to every setting, just because we had a bad teacher doesn't mean that all teachers are bad. One bad teacher does not mean the whole university is bad. One bad girlfriend, one bad boyfriend does not mean the whole gender is bad, and although it's felt like that, I'm sure, at times. But we give so much grace to every setting and every structure, and I would say give grace to God because he's the blueprint for what he wants to do. He's a God of order, and it's right here. Because you might think Jesus might respond, well, look, you answer to no man and no one should tell you what to do. And he says, look, I say to go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, I say, go do this. And he does this. Look at this. Jesus says, was so amazed and looked to his followers. Truly, I tell you, I have found not one in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from the east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There's order. Order. Do. I too am a man under authority. That's so powerful. What he's saying is, Jesus, you're under authority. So am I. We're alike. Remember, Jesus, I only do what the Father tells me to do. This is the connection. So we start to get reshaped in how we view authority. And authority is given. It's blessed. But it has to be like Jesus. That's the qualifier. Follow people as only as they follow Christ. So God gives us the Bible. And I know it can be a tension, because in just to give us a framework of obedience versus submission. If I tell my kids, go, take out the trash. What? I'm doing it. You said do it. Yeah, but your heart's not with me. You're not submitted. So you can sit back down. We've been teaching our kids, like, if I say it more than once and just kind of looking at them like, man, I love you. I'd give you anything. Because I'm not trying to teach you how to heed to my voice. I'm trying to teach you how to heed to God's voice that works through people. So there was a moment yesterday, and I don't always bat 1,000. But finally, one of the kids came up and was like, Dad, I'm ready to do it. I go, oh, it's already done. I did it. And you could just tell he was like sad. And I go, no, you don't have to be sad. No shame in it. I just want you to get to a place when you know I love you so much that you hear my voice and you say, let's go. Because to represent means you take place of. We're ambassadors. We take place of God, which is why anyone in leadership, and all of us have leadership. We're servant leaders. So how we view the difference of obedience versus submission, no matter what age we're in, submission is a posture that we all get to have. Submission means to voluntarily take position where you put your trust in somebody else and heed to their leadership. This has been one of the most sanctifying things of my life. From 22 on till now, 44, 22 years of understanding authority, that even when I walk into Quality Dairy, I'm under authority of the person behind the register. And it's transformed my life. Who has authority in this place? Who's in command? You know, being in a church, sometimes you think, oh, the pastor's up there. He has all the authority. No. We have many different authority here. I go back, and even in Kid City, even though Modesto will report to me, he has authority that he could override me if it's real deep convictions that we work together. Authority starts to work together as we submit to one another, but there is a posture in all of our hearts to take out the trash, to say, oh, I might not always understand. I might not always agree, but because of the mission, there's a submission. I'm subordinate to a mission, and we're one, and we need to see everything as oneness. But submission is not always agreement. It's not always obedience, and it's not a negative. We got to start seeing it as a positive, y'all. So you might say, well, when is there times to not submit? Because nobody's going to tell me what to do. There's been a lot of bad moments in my life. You're right, and we're here for that. And we just spent 3 months of being, and we're going to keep being, and we're always going to be in. And wherever you're at in this journey, no pressure to do. You can sit here. The pressure's off. Stay. But we also then owe you responsibility to say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that God would send laborers, because we have harvest work to do. And even in our state, we get this. There's four seasons. It's spring. No one's going to plant those flowers for somebody else, but you and me. Well, here's when you would not submit. Don't submit when, one, it's unbiblical, or two, it's illegal, unless it's unbiblical. Because in some countries, it's illegal to say the name of Jesus, which would be unbiblical. So we don't bow. We honor authority. We pray for authority, but we wouldn't bow in the event that we would have to deny Christ. And then if it's immoral or your own convictions, to each one's given a measure of faith. Y'all still with me? Clap once. If you're with me, clap twice. All right. Whoa. All right. One of the rubber meets the road is understanding the theology of work and do. And let's go. What does it look like for people that believe Jesus is victorious? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2 says this. We were gentle among you. Picture followers that said yes to Jesus. We will gentle among you, like nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being very affectionate, desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Love was worth it. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked day and night that we might not be a burden. While we proclaim to you the gospel of God. This is why it's our high honor to serve others. Because the goal would be to remove barriers so that they can know God. But if we're serving to be seen, or we're serving for approval, we got it all missed. It says this in verse 10, look at this. You are witnesses, and God also. How holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you. So not only is there the gospel being shared, their lives being shared, but there was a level of ethics. And then look at verse 11. For you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you, encouraged you, and charged you to walk worthy in a matter of God, who calls you into his own kingdom. And this is where it gets really powerful. No one's going to tell me what to do, but God might be speaking through people in our life. Look at this. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, where'd they receive it from? Which you heard from us. God speaks through people. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. I don't speak on authority of my own today. I don't speak as an oracle of Jerome. I pray every Jerome-ism would be burnt. I pray the only things that would remain or last in each one of our lives would be that of God's word, which is at work in you believers. So it goes on, talks about their suffering and how God moved in their lives. Well, all the way in the very beginning, because first principles matter, God told us to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the world and have dominion. What's the first two letters of dominion? Do. Do something about it. And what that means is to cultivate and create culture in such a way that we would take what is rough and rugged and then we would bring beauty to it, the love of God to it. Well, that just seems abstract and ethereal. It's not. And the reason it started to feel hard is because of the fall. And look at what happens because of the fall. There's a curse. And God, because authority, he says to Adam, even though Eve ate the apple first. This is big time. Parents in the room, one of the mistakes we make is we think we're not the same as the kids. We probably said the same things to our parents. It's like, first thing we do when we get caught is we say blame. But if you put somebody in charge and they're the point guard, they're the captain, there's responsibility, and the responsibility was on Adam as the head, as God's leader in that moment. Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree, you imagine that marriage moment came back. Like, you told me to eat it, yo. Now I got to report to God. I'm going to get done with this, and you and I are going to talk. But how sad. How we hope that I always go is, my bad. It says, curses the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. Toil like labor or birthing, work, do. The theology of vocation, to do something in this world. It's going to be hard. That's why it doesn't always feel fun. And what does the devil do? He always wants to give us instant gratification. He promises long-lasting results, dopamine blasts on steroids, but it always ends in death. Well, it feels good for a moment, but sin, when he comes to collect, it just is decay and death and destruction. Now, you might be here, and there's physical limitations of how you would view work or doing things. No, it's not about a paycheck. It's about seeing everything we do to the glory of God. That God reminds us when we're in Jesus, the victory is that he's unlocked for us to go out and do something to this world. There was a series that illustrates this early on in City Life, and I want to show you some of the videos.
Being a single parent at 15 years old, many thought I'd be a statistic. With the help and prayers of good parents, I vowed to myself that I would work hard and raise my kids strong. That is what happened, by God's grace. I have been able to obtain a master's degree, raise my family with God's lead, raise foster kids, and help with grandkids. It's truly amazing. Now I get to work in the Lansing inner city schools. I am often the one showing the kids tough love. I sometimes put up a mean front, but I have a soft side to me. It's all worth it to see the kids do better in school and life. My name is Trina, and I believe work is good.
Delivering mail to some could seem tedious, and don't get me wrong, I've had my days. But overall, I have seen God impact my life and others through my job. Simply learning names, walking and driving in the city, and getting to pray to myself. People coming to talk to me has all helped me grow as a person. It's a joy to be used by God to help deliver people's most precious items. It's a practical way to love the city and is a joy. My name is Carlos, and I believe work is good.
I've been working at Meijer for over 25 years, and I've learned so many things from so many different people about myself and about them. Meijer's has been nothing but a blessing to me in my life. I get to learn from other people, interact with my coworkers, pray while I'm working, give God praise. I've had so many amazing conversations with so many people. There are so many different kind of people walking around in Meijer from all kinds of different countries. It's pretty awesome. My name is Jorge, and I believe work is good.
Be loved, do loved, yes, victory from Jesus. James chapter 2 out of the Message reads this: Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? And pause for a moment. Some of us have a bent, we're more hardwired to action, but action in the kingdom is you can also be waiting and praying. So there is a spectrum for this, but there's a principle that is true for every person that God has called us to do. And it continues here. For instance, you can't come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit," and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, "Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department." Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. It's all one. It's all one. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. But what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners? That faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith. The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set right with God, includes his actions. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God? Not by a barren faith, but by a faith fruitful in works. The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape, that seamless unity of believing and doing what counted with God, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, you get the same thing, a corpse. Now, I wish we had, for time's sake, if we could teach the fourth quarter message in the internship, which is dream. How do you know you're doing work that counts? stay along for this year. You're going to hear in the fourth quarter a good filter that we can do a litmus test along the way to calibrate, you know, to say, ooh, is this in line with God? And of course, one of the things is always needs to be in line with Scripture, but in Scripture, there's a lot of both and scenarios. So today is titled simply to land with the 6 days God created on the seventh day. He rested for each one of us. Just do it. We borrowed this from Nike, but Nike borrowed it from God. Number one, we are public servants. Do you want to stand out, step down. You hear that? If you want to stand out, step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. Rick Warren has a quote, "Faithful servants never retire. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God." Amen. That gives purpose. Whatever age you are, you're not retired. Woo. Two, we love extra mayo. Extra mayo. What? There's a song from Are You Ready on the Second Coming album that we got to be a part of. The drummer, Caleb, who's a missionary now in Nepal, he called me one day and he goes, "Bro, what does extra mayo mean in the song?" I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "On Are You Ready, you go, extra mayo, extra mayo." I go, "Bro, I wasn't saying extra mayo. I was saying extra mile, mile. It's when anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also as well. And if anyone forced you to go 1 mile, because legally they could, go with them 2 miles. You catch this? If your boss tells you to get there early and you catch you're not working for them, you're working for God, you're like, "Fine, I'll do it. I'll do 2. I'm telling you, let this invigorate your bones. We've been sitting and worshiping, and I love it. I think it's amazing, but don't miss this, that God is the God of extra mile work. And when you do that extra mile in your own ability, in your own convictions, and in your own way, in your own setting, you realize the extra mile is just you and Jesus, and it's awesome. We do, even when it hurts. Psalm 15:4. You could maybe say, let your yes be yes or your no be no. Psalm 15:4. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. It's the keep an oath. In the New King James, it calls keep an oath. 4. Work harder. Play harder. Rest hardest. Everything you do. Now, and with Jesus, when you're in the victory of Jesus, it's all Sabbath. We practice a weekly Sabbath, but it's all meant to be unlocked in him, just like vocation now is locked. It's good again. That Jesus says, "Come to me when you're working and it's hard, and I'll give you rest. Learn with me. I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So now we start to see that there's no separation, like church and state. Sure, like here we are versus job. It's all one. We're called to do. Be love, do love. And 5, we work with and for God. Hallelujah. It's what we do. We work with enthusiasm. That you work for the Lord. So when we cut corners, God sees. And you know what's neat about God? He doesn't shame us. It's not like a demerit or demotion system. It's like conviction that leads to profit. Like, "Hey, come here. Let's button that up. In fact, I'll do it with you." 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "We're steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that when you're in the Lord and you're working for the Lord, your labor is not in vain." Because that's one of the things I want to know. Is this matter? Is this in vain? This feels like toil. Am I wasting my life? But when you're doing it for God, in God, with God, it's not a waste. So whatever you do, church, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And my parents got divorced in 1989, and then my dad, who was a stay-at-home dad prior to that, shout out to my dad, he's probably watching. Shout out to my mom in the front row. She's like, "What in the world is he going to say?" Well, I'm very grateful. I believe one of the things I told my mom is that, you know, what she instilled in me was something money can't ever give, which is the belief, and that I can be anything and do anything. So that belief that I can be a dreamer, when God got a hold of that and showed me his purpose, it's just God got a hold of that in a powerful way that the devil used to use for destruction, now got used for destiny. You know, and my dad, being a stay-at-home dad up till 9, taught me sports, taught me a lot of things. They both, you know, like I'm grateful for my experience, even though at there was a sever in 1989, which wasn't always easy for anybody in any of our lives, and God has been redeeming that. But one of the things I remember, because my dad started going to work at a car lot, is he worked 6 days a week, and two of the nights were till 9, and then he had to work, you know, all Saturdays, pretty much mandatory. He would do his best to come to games and stuff like that, but I just remember thinking, dude, if that's what life is, I do not want to be a car salesman. I got one thing, God, on this planet, I just don't want to do, it's car sales. Well, when love gets strong enough and got to find a job, I get offered to sell used cars, and I want to marry Crystal. And it came at a decent compensation rate that I'm like, oh, I could record music after hours, help serve at the church, and we can get enough money to marry Crystal, and it provides a car. So in some ways, I'll say yes, but it's begrudgingly, I do not want to work here forever. But God knowing what he's doing, he would ask me a question. The Holy Spirit would ask me this often. Will you work here the rest of your life? And early on, I'm like, heck no. Never want to work here the rest of my life. And he just would be gentle. Will you work here for the rest of your life? And I remember there was a late night moment closing the car lot by myself. It was a small lot, only two salesmen and one porter in the back. I was weeping outside. And I looked up at the sky and I said, God, if you want me to work here, I will work here the rest of my life because I work for you. And the Holy Spirit just breathed. You'll be out of here within 6 months. And sure enough, I got a call to work for Toshiba to be a copier solutions consultant, document management solutions consultant. But guess who the boss was at the car lot? His previous work was he was a document solutions consultant. He sold copiers as well in software. The whole time I was being prepared at the car lot for actually my next job. And it came with surrendering. I don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to cook it for you. I'm not saying he's asking you to work at a car lot forever. But I think the Lord wants to break things in us sometimes. For me, he needed to break that in me. The very thing I said I wouldn't do was the very thing I got called into. And then I had to get to this place of deep surrender. And then finally, the Lord just from time and time again, you just keep re-signing up to die to self. You keep re-signing up to death, burial, and resurrection. Last week, we celebrate Jesus. That's over. No, I'm still die daily. The Bible says pick up your cross. So I realized this, I was working with God and for God the whole time. I was being prepared. So whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord, not for men. I have a good friend, he puts it this way, you work to learn, you don't work to earn. I was learning with the Lord, knowing that from the Lord and all the jobs I ever had, it's fascinating how he puts it all in the stew, and then later in life you realize you needed those things. So what would it look like? You might hear my story. Let me just speak prophetic for a moment. What are you doing in this season that God's calling you to bloom where you're planted? Because there's seeds there for what he wants to take you to. And the season you're in, the posture you have, could help you exit and enter something new for the glory of God. And only the Holy Spirit can speak that to each one of us today. So interns, church, city life. Jesus went all in. We're all in. We're all in. We're all in. Not because we can boast or brag in my strength. In fact, I'm weak, but he's strong. Let's go. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Who signed us up to do? King Jesus. Who gave us something to do? King Jesus. Let's go. And remember this warning. Make yourself home in Jesus. And if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm tired. I've been trying to do. I'm trying to do it in my own accord. I'm trying to get saved in my own ability. Don't. Look to the cross. It's done. And then in the cross, here's where it's neat. Abide in Jesus. Learn a new rhythm. Learn a new home. Learn a new pace. And when you're in Jesus Christ, you can bear fruit. But apart from Jesus, this is the ultimate humble pie we must eat daily. We can do nothing. Church, just do it. in Jesus, for Jesus. Do what? Maybe there's a few things here as a disciple. Get baptized. Why wait? You can sign up on the Connect online, and you can sign up in the hallway. Wait. No longer. Just do it. Two, get on the dream team. God's dream that you would be on his team, a family serving one another, the local church. Oh, I'm invigorated by the local church, the manifold wisdom of God, that God would make himself known to the rulers and the principalities of the whole heavenlies, of what he's doing, his people, me and you, with border doctrine, with order leaders and those that are fit. Order and borders for sure, but God's dream team, his people, we call that membership here. Serve, man. It's our joy to serve. And there's seasons where you just, maybe you can't. All good. You can maybe serve through prayer. Three, grow in a group. And this last video, I will give a disclaimer. The interns get it because there's so much like nuance picked up and slang. But here I will say this is, I don't think what we're about to share is biblical. But I think it can be profitable that God can use it. I do think that this will test your religious bones. But I watch it and it makes me weep.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Make your dreams come true! Just do it! Some people dream of success while you're gonna wake up and work hard at it. Nothing is impossible. You should get to the point where anyone else would quit, and you're not gonna stop there. No, what are you waiting for? Do it! Just do it! Yes, you can! Just do it! If you're tired of starting over, stop giving up.
Well, worship team, we knew we weren't going to know if we were going to play. We got 2 minutes. We're probably not going to play. But I would invite you to come back to next service. Maybe God's called you to stay and get a repetition and ask the next time, Lord God, what does it mean that you want me to do in light of your word? And just do it. I love the moment in that where it says, yes, you can. You know, the inner critic is so loud. You could play keys, though. The inner critic is so loud. The worst thoughts that somebody has, or the worst words they'll ever hear, is not from somebody else, it's normally in their own head. There's moments when it's just me alone at night, and I watch the Batman when he had to rise out of the cave, and he just had to let go and embrace fear and realize that he could die, but he just had to make the jump. And he gets out. It's going to become moments in our life where suffering is so hard, enduring just doesn't even seem possible. But if Jesus rose from the dead and he paid the price, if the scriptures say, oh death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Then you need to hear loud and clear, yes, you can, because of Jesus. And if you're in this place and you've never said yes to Jesus, he loves you more than I can convey. He's been pursuing and chasing you your whole life. And every wrong thing that's ever happened, it hurts him too. So much so that he proved it because he stepped in the gap. For every mistake you ever made, for every mistake you'll ever make, and that's why grace is so scandalous. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but it's a gift. And if you just receive him, you can be made brand new, clean, whiter than snow, born again. So in your own way, you can say, God, take my life, forgive me of my sin, make me brand new. And for somebody tuning in, man, God has been chasing you. Quit running. He'll take that place where you're tired and he'll use you in new, fresh ways as you wait, as he restores, as he renews, as he resets, as he breaks some bones to bring healing to your life. I sense that on my heart so much for somebody watching live right now. Let go and let God. And lastly, for us, I feel it in the depths of my soul that God has an anthem for City Life in this season. And well, you can use anything you want. You're the head, not the tail, you know. We're servants, but we're servants with a victory that is final, it is perfect, and there is a roar. So let the body of Christ awaken like never before. Let us not be caught asleep, but on watch and on guard and ready wherever the Lord would take us. And we plant and we water and we say, God, will you make it grow? So wherever there's been shame, victory in Jesus' name. Whatever there's been doubt, victory in Jesus' name. Wherever there's a question, God would bring clarity in Jesus' name. Wherever there's been hurt, that God would bring soul healing in Jesus' name. Victory in Jesus' name. We're going to start a series with the book of Acts and as disciples, what it means to live out victory. And I believe if every one of them were here today, they would say, do you know what's in you? Victory in Jesus' name. So we'll see you next week as we celebrate victory in Jesus' name. 10 a.m. and 11:30. All races, all faces, and all ages, you belong here. We're going to keep loving the city one life at a time. And we won't stop until he makes all things new. Go have the best day of your lives. Just do it.
Jesus, our victory. Jesus, our victory. Jesus, our victory. Jesus, our victory. Jesus, our victory.
Thanks for listening to the City Life Lansing podcast. Loving you and loving the city one life at a time. To get connected, learn more, and invest financially, go to citylifelansing.com. You belong here.